If you listen closely to our scripture reading this morning, perhaps you get a little puzzled by some of the very first word. The introductory comment in chapter 4 here by our writer Matthew, he says, Jesus was, and then there's a troubling little three-letter word, led. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Now, we're all good there, aren't we? We're okay there. We all like to be led by the Spirit. And we think of that leading being into light, grace, goodness, fortune, happy times. But then Matthew disappoints. And he says he's led into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days, is that correct? And 40 nights. And not just tempted, but tempted by the evil one. It can be troubling. When we think of our good God allowing us, or even as the writer records it here, encouraging Jesus to go through bad stuff, it can be troubling to our soul and spirit. In journey, as we wrestle with the state and life of faith of even our Lord. I shared with you that just after worship today, we're going to burn out of here as quickly as we can because we have a road trip to make. We're going to a place called the Hangout tonight for dinner in Gulf Shores, Alabama. I first thought they said the hangover, so I was really troubled, but the hangout was the name of it. So I'm a little more hopeful as a man of the cloth. We're going to go to the hangout and have a nice meal, and some of you probably are already concerned, well, what about our baby Dots and Dash? Well, it's troubling times in the Hill household because Dash has got to go stay with his grandparents. He's got to make a vacation of himself, and he doesn't know what he's in for. You know, he's going to miss his mama and his daddy and his brothers, right? He'll be lonesome. He's liable to make us pay when we get home. Does any of y'all's pets do that, make you pay after you leave them gone for a few days, tear up stuff, or give you the cold shoulder? Do dogs have shoulders? I'm not sure about that, but you know what I'm saying. So I feel good about my parents. I know they're good dog parents. And y'all rub his belly every once in a while, won't you? And y'all take him for a walk. I know that. But one thing I'm really concerned about, I'm afraid my dad won't kiss Dash. And I know he won't let Dash kiss him. Well, he's already made that clear to me. He said, look here, I know where that nose has been, and he's not coming near my face, so that's already been cleared out. So Dash is going to have a rough experience, a big adjustment as he travels. In the words maybe of our scripture today, may not be an easy journey like Jesus went through. Much more so than the silliness of this story, Jesus endured something much worse than being separated for a few days from his pet owners. But in a lot of ways, there's a message in Dash's journey. As Monya and I talked about this, we said, you know, at the end of the day, it's really good for Dash, good for our pets. Have a little separation every once in a while. Makes us appreciate what they have. And the goodness in their life when they go through bad things. Maybe us human animals find the same messages, the same truth in our life. Someone much wiser than me first penned those words that doesn't absence make the heart grow fonder. There's a deep level of appreciation and understanding that when we go through the bad times, yes, hallelujah, we more fully appreciate the good times. But Jesus, in our scripture today, explains, I think, through his actions more than his words, more to us what this season of Lent, this season of sacrifice, this time of fasting in the life of the church is all about. Wednesday night we celebrated the Feast of Ash Wednesday, and I asked our high schoolers and our young children with our Christian Education Director, Miss BJ, there, I said, y'all help me understand this Lent stuff a little better, this Ash Wednesday experience. And they said a little something. I said, no, y'all got to do better than that, because I've got to explain to these adults here in a minute, and I don't know what to say. So they dug a little deeper, Grace Ann and Tristan did, and they said these words, kind of a combination together. They said, when we sacrifice, we remember Jesus' sacrifice. Pretty profound. By young teenage kids, huh? And to me, that says it's not so much that we're trying to pay Jesus back for his sacrifice. That's not why we fast. That's not why we give up things. But it's a time that we are drawn more closely to the sacrificial nature of our God by in some way experiencing our own sacrifice. We have a little better understanding of what he gave up so that we may have life forever and even more fully now. There's a greater level of appreciation for what we have when we have to do without. So I guess it's true. Everything on the surface, like our scripture today, when it seems bad, sometimes it can lead to good. Oh, but I'm afraid the other side of that coin's true as well. It has been in my life, maybe yours. Sometimes when it seems good, it can lead to bad. I sent some of you an email today you're going to get. You may have already gotten it. If I overload you on emails, y'all write me back and say, cut this out, man. It's called Carry Your Cross. It's a little video on YouTube, dramatization of a little guy carrying his cross. And it's a big cross, much larger than him. It's a cartoon, and he's walking along with other people carrying their cross as well. And finally, he gets to sweating, and that cross gets heavy, and he just cries out, Lord, please make it a little smaller. It's just too heavy. And it shows him cutting it off. The Lord obliges, and he gets to shorten his cross a bit. He journeys on, and he's whistling now. He's got him a little lighter load and much more peace-filled along his journey. And he pauses again, as we often do, and says, Lord, thank you for what you did, but I need a little more. Can we make it just a little more shorter? And I think I can handle it. And sure enough, he breaks out his little saw and shortens it again. And now it's much more his size. It's manageable. He's walking along, and he's got his cross with one arm. He's just toting it along, whistling. And you see all these people around him with both arms, with all their effort, barely getting by, carrying their cross. And he's happy. And it's good, this journey that he's on. And then as he moves on through the images, he comes to what looks like a crevice, a ravine, or maybe I would say some kind of river crossing. And he says, what am I going to do now? How am I going to get across this thing? I can't make it to the other side. And then the image moves on and those people taking those large, long, overwhelming crosses say, hey, let's use these to help us make it across to the other side. And they lay down their large crosses and walk through deliverance to the land of restoration. In our scripture, you may have heard these temptations that the evil one presented to Jesus. And did you notice that every one of those temptations, for the most part, were good stuff? I mean, my goodness, he wanted to make him king of the world. He wanted him to be the main most boss. He wanted him to give him food. Just think if Jesus would have had been able to conquer hunger throughout the world. Those were good temptations by the devil. Everyone will bow down to you. He was tempted to do good, to carry, like the young man on the journey, a smaller cross. So maybe it's true. Not everything that sounds good is good. Isn't that the struggles we have with our own temptations in life? Family, work. So often it's not between good and bad. My goodness, we know what we don't need to do, really, don't we? It's not the bad stuff. We can get that right, usually. It's between good and good. Or how about this, good and gooder? Boy, don't throw nothing at me now, English teachers. So often the real temptations are between good and better. Or how about this? For me, many times the temptation is between what's good for me versus what's good for the kingdom of God. And you know what I found along my journey? Me, like that young man carrying that small cross, I found through trial and effort, through struggles and falling and perseverance through the grace of God, that when I seek to do what's good for the kingdom of God, then that, dear soul, is truly what's best for me as well. There's a beautiful hymn writer in the life of the Christian church named Fanny Crosby, who was born as a young child and just a few weeks into her life lost her eyesight. Something we would call bad. A terrible tragedy. Fanny Crosby didn't see it that way. In fact, in later years she would say, if I could go back and do it over and change things, I wouldn't change a thing because God has allowed me to endure this special dispensation that in my darkness I've brought light to the world. She penned thousands of hymns and she said she was able to focus more clearly without sight on the grace of God's love in her life. And she, I think, would resonate with that email I sent to you about the guy journeying and coming to the river. Journeying with her cross through the challenges of life. And if you listen closely this morning to the words of one of her hymns, I think you'll hear more about the cross and the river of God's grace.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the ridge.